direct. From Guano Productions headquarters in the Los Angeles Underground, it's time for your new favorite podcast, The Superiority Complex. It's like honey in your ear holes. Welcome back to The Superiority Complex, everyone. It's your new favorite podcast, your old favorite podcast, and your favorite podcast in general. I like to believe, that's my personal belief system.
It's my favorite.
Yeah. Let's jump right in. First of all, no John Sandy today. John Sandy is the siren song of work. Mm. Called John Sandy Away.
I feel like a part of me is missing with John not being here.
It was nice to catch up with him the last week and have an episode where it was just he and I, because he's my sort of my mentor in the pop culture world. So it's always nice to just sit down and have a chitty chat with him.
So let me get this straight. Your mentor in the pop culture world is a guy who doesn't have the internet?
Yes. but at the time he was sort of schooling me. At the time he was my Yoda.
Uh-huh.
At the time of my Dagobah.
I don't mean that, by the way. I don't mean that as a put down on John Sandy. That's just how amazing he is.
Yeah. No, that's what I'm saying. At the time, though, you didn't need the interwebs. So,
right.
But he still uses – that's what amazes me when I bring that up, is that he'll call me and say, hey, so-and-so's coming to town, or mm-hmm. hey, they're running this at UCLA. Let's go check it out. And I have access to the internet, and I don't have the I don't have the inside knowledge that he has using, you know, like the LA Weekly.
Right.
So it's just amazing to me. But that's – isn't that great?
Yeah. You know what John Sandy is like? John Sandy is like the guy that if we were to have a complete breakdown of our government and everything, John Sandy could go out and hunt animals and feed himself.
Maybe.
We would be completely screwed.
No, John Sandy
eats – but he's like the pop culture version of that is what I'm saying.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know?
Because yeah. John Sandy eats chili out of a can over the sink, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah.
I'm kidding. He's going to listen to this. I think he's mentioned that before. That's like a running gag of his. It's like, yeah, I'm a bachelor, man. I just eat chili out of a can over the sink.
Nice.
Oh, John Sandy. Yeah, so we miss him this week, man. We miss him. And but, you know, we've been on a nice run, and I want to address this early on. We have a couple of new listeners, and I keep running into people that are friends with me on Facebook and then go, hey, you have a podcast? So I'm doing something wrong. I'm not really going out and advertising the show, but I'm not when I do mention it, I think I need to mention the fact that, hey, I have a podcast. But anyway, I think that's just the fact that people aren't reading my feed. And if my post yesterday isn't proof of that, I don't know what is, because I launched into I had a good conversation starter yesterday. I asked people for their favorite cowbell songs, and I only got like 5 responses.
I don't get I don't get your posts. I noticed.
Maybe you're not subscribed to me.
Oh, maybe that's it. You know what? I'm so over Facebook.
I think that's a big problem too. Yeah. I think people just aren't going to Facebook anymore. Twitter, Instagram.
Yeah.
You put those together, Facebook.
That's what you need. You need an Instagram following. That dog named Tuna has a huge following.
Yeah.
Well, we had the following of the dog named Tuna.
We need to start a superiority complex. And by we, I mean somebody other than myself.
Other than you.
Because I just...
You need a head of media relations is what you need.
Yeah, exactly.
Renee.
I'm looking at him right now.
Oh, Renee?
Yep. I'm looking right at him.
Is that Boba Fett cut out right behind
him? Look at Renee. He's just like serenely stirring his coffee. Look at him. He's just sitting out there. Poor kid. Renee's on like 12 podcasts right now.
Yeah, and he runs the Undercity Comics.
Yeah, he runs
the Undercity. He's head of media relations.
Media relations. We're not going to mention the fact that he forgot my pull list this week.
Did he really?
Yeah, he did.
Well, I thought you just bought it.
I did, except we're out of Secret Wars number 3.
Oh.
Which was the only thing I was really wanted to. I was going to collect all the Secret Wars.
Wait, though. They're at number 3 now because I bought number 1.
Yeah, because they're doing it like bi-weekly.
Oh.
Which, depending on where you're from, either means twice a month or once every 2 weeks.
See, that's why I don't read comics, because I always fall behind.
I just said the same thing. Twice a week or once every 2 weeks is what I was trying to say.
That's bi-weekly.
Mm-hmm. But right. Some people, like if I say bi-monthly, you could say some people take it to mean bi-monthly means every 2 months, mm-hmm. or some people take it to mean twice a month.
No, that would be bi-weekly.
Yeah, that's. But if you ask people bimonthly, it throws them.
Okay.
Yeah, I would take it to mean every two months.
Right. Right. Yeah.
Biweekly, every 2 weeks.
Right.
Anyway. So
glad we figured that out.
So listen, first of all, there's a couple new listeners, so I wanted to give a little shout out. Say hello to our new listeners. I know we have, and our, you know, it's kind of a blessing and a curse that our following is such that I know when there's new listeners.
Wait, how do you know?
Usually people tell me.
Okay.
There's people that show up in the feed all the time that I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
They'll come and go. Our numbers are usually solidly consistent, but I'll get a person that goes, "Hey, I just listened to your podcast and it's really good," which is always nice to hear. Or people will just say, "Hey, I'm going to give it a listen," and then they'll say, "Hey, I gave it a listen," and, you know, thumbs up, or they'll like it on Facebook. So that's kind of how I know. But I know we have this week. We have a couple of new listeners, and we've been on that nice little run. And you know, I want to call it the Gourley / Francis effect, where I feel like that, at least in my mind, really upped my desire. Not that I didn't want to do a good show before.
Mm-hmm.
But I feel like I've been kind of riding a good – and we've been on a good run of topics and having fun and coming in and, you know. And so it's been a good run. And so John Sandy's been a big part of that, as have you, Martin. So thank you for that. But I feel like John Sandy's been a big part of that too. It's just fun to breathe new life and get kind of new perspectives.
I'm not sharing credit with John Sandy, dude.
Why not?
Because I'm not.
Yeah, you shouldn't.
Yeah.
It's really you.
It's all John Sandy.
I don't want to say anything.
It's all John Sandy.
It's like
that
tweet that Brendan McCarthy sent out to...
I am like the dog at the foot of the table just picking up the scraps.
It's like that. It's like that tweet that Brett Anderson sent to... Brendan McCarthy sent to Brett Anderson from the Dodgers.
Yes. Did you see that? That
was like,
awesome.
Isn't it amazing that between the four of us, we have like two Cy Youngs? Yeah. It was, we was talking about him and Greinke and Kershaw. And Greinke and Kershaw have all the awards.
He sent it to Anderson. He said, "Hey, Anderson, isn't it great that between you, me, Greinke, and Kershaw, we have two Cy Youngs, like a no hitter or something?" And Anderson's like, "Yeah, man."
Really funny.
Anderson said, "Go us." That's what he said. Go us.
Quick little Dodgers report. First of all, anemic offense last week. Got swept by the Giants. Not only did we get swept, did not score a run in three games. In the belly of the beast.
Dodgers still in first place?
Still in first place by two games. We got schooled by St. Louis again.
Mm-hmm.
Kershaw did not face anyone at Busch Stadium, but he did come back.
How is my boy Kershaw? Is he?
He looked good against Atlanta last week.
Okay, so he's back.
At the game I went to with...
Because everybody was hitting the panic button there. He's having a rough season.
You know what? Everybody's hitting the panic button, but they were wrong because it was like, oh, man, he's off to such a bad start. He was out this whole time last year. He had not pitched yet.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, he came back and then kind of went into a Kershaw mode. So he's getting there. It takes him a little while, you know.
Right.
Let him get warmed up. Looked great. Dude, he pitched great against the Rockies in Colorado, which is not easy to do. And if you think, if the guy's having trouble, if there's a place he's going to get rocked, it's going to be Coors Field.
Yeah.
They won 11-3.
Nice.
And then yesterday, doubleheader, they made up a snow day and lost the first one. They brought in a committee, pitching by committee. They brought in, I forgot the young man's name. They brought him up from AAA. Not a great debut. And then the bullpen really, and the offense wasn't looking too good. And then last night, did you see this? Did you see how they won last night?
No, because I don't have cable anymore.
Down, we're going to talk about this. They're down. Down by... They basically need a grand slam to get back in the front, get back in front, and I forgot who the closer was for Colorado. Ninth inning, top of the ninth, they start little rally, get those bases loaded. I think he walked one of the runners. Here comes Alex Guerrero down to his last strike, blasts one,
nice
in center field. Blackman goes up to get it. It looks for a second like he has it. Comes down empty-handed. Just missed it. And, you know, Dodgers are up 9-8.
Nice.
And then they held on to win it in the bottom of the night. But my favorite thing, if you go back and look up the clip, my favorite thing is, and this is my favorite thing of the week, I'll give it to you right now.
Yeah.
He, as he goes up to get it, you hear the crowd, because it's last out, so everybody's on their feet.
Right.
Guerrero's, you know, so he blasts it, it goes up, you hear the crowd go nuts when Blackman comes down, because they think they have it.
Uh-huh.
And then Guerrero just keeps running, and you slowly hear the crowd kind of realize what's happening.
Oh.
And then everybody just kind of, you just hear, like, the few Dodger fans that are there, like, cheering still.
Yeah.
And then, you know, he circles base and come home. And they're so stunned in Colorado, nobody sits down. Everybody's still standing after he comes home. Like, he crosses the plate. Everybody's crossed the plate, and everybody's just still standing there.
Like, what's going on?
Like what do we do? Like, yeah. What happens now? Well, you know what happens. Now you go to the bottom of the ninth and you lose the game. But yeah, it was Guerrero's first career Grand Slam. So it was one of those nice little, like, oh, please don't drop two to Colorado in a row.
Yeah.
The Giants are nipping at our heels. They're in first place by two games as of
the Dodgers are?
The Dodgers are in front by two games. And that was after losing. They came out half a game ahead, dropped a game in St. Louis, which briefly put San Francisco back up. San Francisco was facing Atlanta, so I thought, oh, man, this is going to be – but then Dodgers were able to turn it around, take control, and so they're, you know, two games ahead of the Giants, who are, you know, everybody keeps – I love how the Giants fans with that faux humility. Oh, well, it's, you know, we're not doing that great this, you know.
Yeah.
You're second place. Shut up.
Yeah. That's like SC fans, like, we're terrible. We lost the game.
Oh, yeah.
Shut up.
You're used to success because, you know, 5 years of, you know.
Nobody
ever
mentions those 8 years where UCLA and Bob Toledo kicked
nobody
for like
brings
eight
that up.
Straight years.
Well, it's like when you, it's like, and I know you hate this, but we have a friend, we have a mutual friend who's a Clippers fan.
Uh-huh.
And he wants to talk about the Lakers championships, like their ancient history.
Right.
I'm like, 2010, bro. It's not that, it's not that far away. It's not that long ago.
There's a lot of misplaced confidence in Clipper fans.
You know,
what are you excited about?
I don't. And here, I will say this as a Lakers fan: the Warriors, exciting team to watch.
Yeah.
Fun, exciting team to watch. Clippers, fun, exciting team to watch. I do not mind watching the Clippers.
Mm-hmm.
What makes me mad is when young Clippers fans, when you haven't won anything, like, oh, your time is over, Lakers fans. What now?
Yeah.
What now? It's like, dude, you've had this season series, what, 2 or 3 years now? Let's go way back. Like,
right.
You know what I mean?
And you're
There's
talking
like a
about
60
one of the,
game gap.
You're talking about one of the most storied franchises in basketball.
Yeah.
They're going to come back. They're going to have some off.
Yeah.
You know, it's like the Yankees. I hate to say that, but.
Well, like I tell people, you know, about the Lakers, I've seen them win 10 championships in my lifetime.
Mm-hmm.
I can deal with a few bad years.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
It's
you're
not going to. Now, the Dodgers, that's another thing where it's like, okay, I've seen them win 2. I remember it well. I'd like to see one or two more, especially with San Francisco having the success that it has.
Right.
I'm not going to come out and say I don't want to see him win a World Series.
Right.
Now, will I cow to San Francisco fans like talking? No, of course not.
Right.
I will not. I will go down defiantly. But yeah, you know, I don't even mind. It's part of talking trash. You know, you put on your big boy chones and you know, it's part of it.
I got a friend on my Facebook that are big Giants fans, and they start – and I'm not even a Dodger fan. They'll start posting stuff about the Dodgers. And
well, because you're A, so they figure
you – kind of roll my eyes, you know.
Well, you know what, though? As much as like down here, it's a little bit different because like Dodgers fans with like the Angels, it's like – it's kind of like, you know. But for my money, I don't hate the Angels. I don't hate their fans. They bore me. You know, they bore me, but that's just, you know, the Angels, to me, just, you know what I mean? Like, Mike Trout aside, it's never been a team that I'm like, oh, my God, I got to see this team. You know, they just never have. But, boy, that A's-Giants thing, there is no love lost there. They really do not like one another.
But you can tell who the real fans are by the test. If you get a Giants fan there and they go, oh, you're an A's fan? Cool, right? We're cool? No. No. How can you like pretend to be a fan and say that we're cool? Like the Giants have screwed the A's over so much. They're currently screwing the A's over so much.
Our gentleman's agreement. Is that what you're talking about?
Yeah. I mean, for those that don't know, you know, in the late 80s, I think in the late 80s, the Giants were threatening to move all over the place. I think including back to Florida. And
God, that would have been great.
The owner of the A's decided, hey, listen, let's create these territories. We're not – you guys build your stadium, do your thing. We're not going to go into Santa Clara County and all the – you know, we'll stay on the East Bay and this will be our area. The A's, of course, back then were hot. We're you know, you didn't have the explosion of Silicon Valley back then.
Ricky,
you didn't have all the money.
This is Ricky Henderson A's.
This is Ricky Henderson A's. So then – okay, so keep in mind that this hasn't been done with any other sports team. Now cut to the A's really having a – you know, just horrible stadium that's old and breaking down and dissipating fan base. And they need to move somewhere and they wanted to move to San Jose. Well, the Giants blocked it, even though they never paid for this territory, even though it was done out of the goodwill of Arthur Schott back in the 80s to give them to keep them in the Bay Area. So now the Giants turn around and screw them over. How can you possibly think that any self-respecting A's fan would like the Giants? No. And I hate those people that wear those hats that are like split down the middle.
Oh, yeah.
Like,
yeah,
make
yeah.
up your mind, you hippie. Like, you can't have it both ways.
Oh.
That's like somebody wearing an Angels and Dodgers split cap. You'd realize how ridiculous
you
look.
The only people that could do that were the Weavers.
The Weaver, oh yeah.
The Weaver parents, would
maybe,
do
that. Yeah.
You know
yeah.
what I mean?
And they did that, didn't
yeah,
they?
Yeah.
Yeah, they did that. But that's okay. That's your kid.
Yeah.
You know,
it's
I can understand
son.
That.
Yeah, it's your son. You know, you want your sons to do well.
Right.
They only met each other once.
Did they?
I think they did, and I believe
it's Jared Weaver and Jeff Weaver, wasn't
yeah.
it? Jeff Weaver.
I think right. Jeff Weaver came away with that. I think Jeff Weaver got.
And Jeff left. Weaver was hot at the like when he first came
yeah.
on, he was good, and then Jared Weaver came on. Nobody really cared about Jeff Weaver.
It was Pedro Martinez and his brother Ramon.
Ramon.
The Dodgers had Ramon.
Yeah.
And Pedro, they almost had Pedro. They let him go.
It's
too skinny. They said too skinny. I think that was the scouting word. Too small.
Yeah.
He's never going to get the Ramon's the beefy one. Let's get him.
Yeah.
Pedro Martinez goes to Boston.
To quote the great Moneyball, you're not selling jeans.
That's right.
Not selling jeans.
Here's a great – I just looked up Ricky Henderson, refers to himself in the third person, and it gave me the top 25 Ricky Henderson quotes of all time. In the early 80s – this isn't a quote, but this is an awesome story. In the early 80s, the Oakland A's accounting department was freaking out. The books were off $1 million. After investigation, it was determined Ricky was the reason why. The GM asked about his million-dollar bonus he received, and Ricky said instead of cashing it, he framed it and hung it on the wall in his house.
Yeah, that sounds like Ricky, man. I wonder if he ever cashed it.
I don't know. Maybe.
I wonder if they make him a second check and go, here, dude, here's just cash this one. It's on an ugly check, you know. Piece of paper.
Apparently, he called San Diego GM Kevin Towers and left the following message. This is Ricky calling on behalf of Ricky. Ricky wants to play baseball.
See, okay.
We need a Ricky Henderson.
Oh, I love Ricky. But see, that's why baseball was fun. Like that, we need that sort of players. Like I don't mind the flipping of the bat. I don't mind the showing off. Like, it's cool. Like, I know that a lot of baseball fans want to stay true to this sort of, like, gentleman type of baseball. You hit a home run. If I hit a home run, I am admiring the heck out of it because I would never, ever again hit a home run.
That's true.
I would enjoy it. I would look up at it. I would get down on my knees and thank it for going over the fences.
But Ricky would take a while. He'd take like
Ricky
a, like,
would Ricky
like
would
a minute.
Lift the bat, do his little like jersey, like he would pinch his jersey, kind of do the little Ricky swagger, and then sideways like hop over to first base.
Take like a. I think there was a time where he slid into he broke somebody's record. I forgot who it was, and he slid into home plate. Like he went around, he took it, his sticks and slid into home plate.
Well, you know, he's the famous Ricky Rally was Ricky gets Ricky gets walked to first, and he would do this a lot. Get walked to first, steal second, steal third, and then come in on like a you know, an infield single.
Okay, hold on. I found one for you.
Okay.
Moments after breaking Lou Brock's stolen base record, Henderson told the crowd, with Brock a mere feet next to him, Lou Brock was a great bass dealer, but today I am the greatest of all time.
He got a lot of heat for that, too. He got a lot of heat for that. Oh, man. But Ricky's awesome. That's a record that's never going to get broken. You know?
Yeah.
Mikey Trout.
Here's one. And the author of this says he didn't believe it until he contacted people in the organization, in the Red Sox organization, and claimed it actually happened. The morning after the Sox finished the sweep against St. Louis, was it the White Sox?
No, Ricky played for the Red Sox.
Okay, yeah. Henderson called someone in the organization looking for tickets to Game 6 at Fenway Park.
That's awesome. Was it the Red Sox?
Huh?
Can you verify that for me?
What am I?
That Ricky... Garen? Garen?
Garen? Am I going to Garen? That's what I was just going to say. Ken Caminiti. They just brought up Ken Caminiti. Yeah, it's
because he was traded. He was traded and then came back to the A's. I think he went to the... I think he might have been with the Sox.
Yeah, it says the morning after the Sox finished off the sweep against St. Louis last October, Henderson called someone in the organization looking for tickets to Game 6 at Fenway Park. So
yes.
He was. Of course he would. Hello? Are you there?
Hello. Go. Yeah, I think my cable came. Anyway, because I didn't know. I know Eckersley played for the Sox, too. So I didn't know if I was confusing him with Eckersley. But anyway, I've been out of baseball, man. I've been kind of in the dark on baseball recently, but I'm starting to get right back into it because the hockey kind of took over my off-season life. You know? So it was fun. It was a great time, but that's over. So now I got to get back to my boys, and I look at the standings, and son of a gun, they're in last place.
Who's that?
Yes.
Have you heard the I wanted to play this because you're into hockey now.
Mm-hmm.
You need to hear "Hit Somebody" by Warren Zevon.
Is it a hockey song?
It's a hockey song.
Really?
Yeah.
Warren Zevon?
Warren Zevon.
Hockey rock? Really? Yeah.
He wrote a song called "It's About a Goon."
Oh, okay.
It's about a guy who comes up. His whole job is just to lay people out and kill people.
It's
tongue firmly in cheek.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Check it out.
Dude, you know, I used to really look down on
Warren
fights.
Zeman?
No, not Warren Zevon. On like hockey fights, I was like, that's stupid. Like, why do they let them fight? There is nothing more exciting than being at a game
and watching just,
and
two,
watching just two guys just
beat the crap out of each other.
Yeah, it's great. I mean, I know that sounds terrible, but it is freaking awesome.
You're bloodthirsty.
And you're like in the top, you're in the last row, and you're just yelling down. You're like, kick his ass. And of course, you know.
Okay, here we go. Here's some Ricky.
Okay.
Now, I have here in my hand a story called The 25 Best Stories of Ricky Being Ricky.
Uh-uh.
So you can tell us how many of these are true or not. Is it true that you once called San Diego General Manager Kevin Towers and left the following message? This is Ricky calling on behalf of Ricky. Ricky wants to play baseball.
False.
That's false?
No?
That didn't really happen?
No. All right, not like that.
How about this one? It is known that superstar athletes, when they check into their hotel, sometimes if they don't want to be found there or by the media or whoever, they'll use a different name. Did you ever check in under Richard Pryor?
Yes.
You did. Did you use that name?
Yes.
Oh, Ricky.
Oh, I don't think Ricky knew how that worked.
Yeah. I'll check into someone more famous. Ricky.
Oh, that's awesome.
How many teams did Ricky play with?
He started off with, I want to say three.
Let's see.
Because he was with the A's in the early part of the 80s. And then he was traded away. No, actually, you know what? Even more than that. More than three. Because Ricky just, like, played for a very long time. He refused to retire.
Yeah, he did. He played from 79
mm-hmm.
79 to 2003.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he refused to like really retire, and even then, after he retired, he I think he played some sort of like, you know, like not amateur, but like you know,
holds a major league records for stolen bases, runs, unintentional walks, and leadoff home runs.
Right. He played in the independently, I think, after he
Oakland A's, the Yankees.
Mm-hmm. I know the Yankees.
Yeah. Another stint with the A's.
That's who he was traded to, and then came back to the A's. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Blue Jays.
Mm-hmm.
Back with the A's. Padres. Angels. Back with the A's. Mets. Mariners. Padres. Red Sox, Dodgers,
mm-hmm.
Newark Bears, and LA Dodgers in 2003, which he must have made a huge impact because I don't remember him playing with the Dodgers. And that was it. Then he was done.
Well, he might have just been like, if he's with the Dodgers, he could have been with like, I don't know, their minor league team or something and never just come up or something.
Maybe a pinch runner.
Maybe, yeah.
Maybe a pinch runner. Get him in the pinch run situation.
I remember when I was a kid, Oral Hershiser, I guess, was back with the Dodgers or came back to the – I forget. And, or he was – no, he wasn't. It was
– Fernando?
No. It was Oral Hershiser, and I forget who he was pitching for. Did he
Cleveland?
Ever pitch for – yeah, I think
pitch
he –
pitched for Cleveland.
I think he pitched for Cleveland because I was a little kid. And I remember my dad being really excited that Oral was coming into the game. He's like, this is Oral Hershiser. Like, it's – you know – watch, like he's really good, and then he just stunk it up. I think he couldn't even get it over the home plate. Like it was just, you know, he was done. He was clearly done.
I think his low point was he went to the Giants for I think a season.
Oh, really?
And let's see.
And I was like, this is Oral Hershiser.
Yeah, but you didn't see him in his early.
It's the same with Nomo.
Hideo
Nomo was, I mean, I remember seeing him when he was really good, and correct me if I'm wrong, he left too and then came back?
Hideo, yeah, I believe he did.
And when, I mean, there was just, towards the end of his career there, he just couldn't get it over home plate. Like, it was just taking dives right before, like, into the dirt right before it got over. And that was painful to see, so.
Good old Nomo, man.
I liked Hideo Nomo. He was cool.
Hideo Nomo. And then there was Saito. Takashi.
By the way, I got a really funny story. I went to a Dodger game about three weeks ago
good
or a month
you.
Ago.
Good for you.
I was there with Jimmy Pardo, actually.
Yeah, good. How was it?
Not as good as your adventure with Jimmy Pardo. No, I'm just kidding. I didn't. I went with a couple of coworkers. So I
one of whom was bought, Jimmy Pardo.
I bought a Dodgers shirt, just a little T-shirt, and I got it. You know,
Brooklyn Dodgers.
Brooklyn Dodgers. So it's got the Brooklyn Dodgers B on it. And I still wear it because, A, I paid for it. I'm going to continue to wear it. And I like the Dodgers. I have nothing against the Dodgers.
But so, what did I tell you was going to happen when you bought the
– So I told you. Yeah, I told you I was going to buy one. And so I didn't – you – actually, this is before I bought it. You said you should get a Brooklyn Dodgers one so that when people ask you, hey, is it Boston? You can be like, no, it's Brooklyn, you dick. Right? So I went, you know, I'm supposed to meet up with these coworkers. We meet at ESPN Zone in Anaheim in downtown Disney. We meet there before we head over to the Dodger game. And they have a store there. And I walked in and they have all sorts of T-shirts and stuff. And they have a Brooklyn Dodgers T-shirt there. It's the big B, the big Brooklyn B. And so I was like, hey, that shirt is awesome. Even if you're, you know, just a baseball fan, that's a cool shirt. So I bought it. And I took a picture of it and I sent you a picture and it said, it's Brooklyn, you dick. So cut to today. I'm getting ready to come here and you know, I'm picking out a shirt out of my closet and it's a really comfy shirt. So I decided to wear it. And
it's very soft cotton.
And I figure I'm going into Whittier. I better wear the
yes.
You know, I better wear colors. Right, right. You don't go into Compton with Crips colors.
Exactly.
You know? Exactly. So anyway.
Is that true? I don't know.
I don't even know if the Crips are in
I'm
Compton.
Not from the streets.
I am. Okay. Not.
I am from the streets.
From that. Yeah. Anyway, long story short, I walk out of my apartment and right as I close the door, there's right across the courtyard, there's another apartment and this lady's coming out and she walks over to the stairs and I'm walking over the stairs. She sees me. She kind of like, you know, stops for a second, and she just yells out, "Oh, awesome. Is that the Red Sox or the Boston Bruins?" So the first thing I thought about was, it's Brooklyn, you dick.
Why didn't you say that?
I didn't. She was a nice lady.
Oh, you should have said
it. I said, no, it's Brooklyn.
Oh.
You dick.
She's like, where's Brooklyn?
Yeah. She's like, oh, it's the old. I was like, yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
You dick.
Yeah.
All right, we're going to take a quick break after hearing Martin call that girl a dick. And we'll be right back after this break. We got, it's quiz time. Martin has demanded that we quiz him. So
after the break, supposed to be with Johnson, but I'll take it. I'll
no.
Right.
We're gonna. This is you, man.
This is me, huh?
This is you.
All right, let's
You're going up against the machine.
Ooh.
All right, we'll be right back after this break. Welcome back from our break, everyone. It was a wonderful break. I got a Dr. Pepper and a Spider-Man keychain.
Mm-hmm.
We're trying to pretend like we just didn't do this a minute ago.
Yeah, I know.
What I was trying to say was, if you want your own blind keychain, Marvel keychain, come on down to Undercity Comics in Uptown Whittier, 12920 Philadelphia Street.
In beautiful
downtown. I hate when people call it downtown Whittier. It's not orange.
Uptown.
It's Uptown Whittier.
Uptown. Uptown girl.
Yeah, she's been living in a white bread world. All right, Martin, you've mentioned that we never do quizzes when you're on.
Yeah. So, yeah, I better not fail at this terribly.
Okay, so our first quiz.
Okay.
This is ways to reach base safely. Go.
Wait, what?
Seven ways to reach base
safely. Are we talking baseball?
Yeah.
Okay. A walk. Infield hit, an error, hit by pitch, intentional walk. Does that count? Because I've already said walk.
It is not showing me intentional walk.
Okay.
Two more, three more.
Oh, you strike out, but the catcher drops the ball. That's five. I don't know what to have that under.
Yeah, see, it's weird because you have to put it in precisely. So let me, I'm just going to, okay, keep going. Drop strike three.
Drop strike three. Okay,
okay, that's in there. Okay.
I'm at five, right?
Yep.
Home run?
No, you're only reaching base.
Okay.
So I would assume you're staying at first.
Blooper?
Nope.
Line drive?
Those are all on your hit.
Okay.
One of them is
a bunt.
Nope.
Bunt's not on there?
That's a hit.
Oh.
You've gotten five out of seven. Do you give up or do you want to keep going?
Hang on. Give me 20 seconds. I'll wreck my
20 seconds on the clock.
Okay.
Do 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 do. Is this helping? Do
no,
do
it's not.
Do.
I'm thinking it has something to do with the pitcher. I'm trying to think.
Yeah, one of them is kind of a trick question.
A balk.
Nope.
No? Mm-mm. You can read. No?
According to this, no. But I think there's one that could fall under that title. So, do you want to know?
Yeah.
Fielder's choice.
Oh, okay. Yeah. All right.
And catcher's interference.
That's true. Okay. All right. Fair enough.
You got 57% correct, man.
No, I got five.
Oh, you got five. I only did four because, well, you know why? Because I didn't know what to put for the, it was drop strike three is what they wanted. Oh, so okay. I didn't know what to put in there. So, all right, you ready?
Mm-hmm.
All right, here we go. Let's do another. Give me a.
I am jack of all trades, master of none. So
all right, here
hit
we go.
Me with whatever
here we
you
go.
Want.
This is.
By the way, okay, I'll bring this up with my new favorite things.
Oh, what is it?
Silicon Valley. He's like,
oh.
He's a master of trades. He's a jack of all trades. He's like, yeah, but by the sound of it, he's more like master of none.
Great show. Oh. Great show.
All right. So go ahead.
All right. Here we go. Communist.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, here. Let's go NFL teams.
Oh, okay. I might have a harder time with that, but okay. Let's do it.
All right, ready?
Mm-hmm.
So you have 6 minutes
mm-hmm.
to name them all.
All NFL teams?
Yes.
Okay, Chargers, Raiders, San Francisco 49ers, Seattle Seahawks, Dallas Cowboys, Green Bay Packers, Minnesota Vikings, Chicago Bears, St. Louis Rams.
You're on a roll. Keep going, bro. Keep going.
New Orleans Saints, Atlanta Falcons, Houston Texans, Denver Broncos. I know I was forgetting one. New York Jets, New York Giants, Baltimore Ravens, Indianapolis Colts, Philadelphia Eagles, Jacksonville Jaguars, Tennessee Titans, Miami Dolphins, Tampa Bay Buccaneers,
you're so close.
How many do I have?
You have 10 more to go.
Detroit Lions. I'm gonna think of the. Missing NFC. A bunch of
you've
NFC.
Got
South.
All of. You've got all of the NFC North. You've got all of the AFC South. You're missing two in the AFC East. One in the NFC East. You're missing most of the AFC North.
Missing most of the NFC North?
AFC North.
Oh, AFC North.
You got all of the NFC.
Oh, Steelers.
You got plenty of time.
AFC East. I'm missing some?
Yes.
Okay, AFC East.
You've named Jets and Dolphins.
Of the AFC East. Okay. Carolina Panthers.
You got all of the NFC South. That's done.
Okay. Let's see, AFC East. Got a picture of what team. Gosh, I'm drawing a blank now.
You're missing,
I was doing so well there.
You're missing one in the AFC West and one of the NFC West.
NFC West?
Mm-hmm. You got Niners, Seahawks, and Rams. In the AFC.
Did I say Dallas Cowboys?
You did.
Oh, Arizona. Arizona Cardinals.
Arizona Cardinals, very good.
Is that
NFC West is complete.
Okay, so what am I missing?
You're missing one in the AFC West. You got Broncos, Raiders, and Chargers.
Broncos, Raiders, and Chargers, and I'm missing one. That would have to be the
3 minutes.
I'm.
You got 26 out of 32. That's impressive.
So, did I say Houston Texans?
I believe you did.
Okay.
Yes.
The Montana Rattlesnakes? I don't know. I'm kidding. AFC West. Okay.
Am I allowed to give hints?
No.
Okay.
Just tell me what I'm missing.
You're missing two in the AFC North, one in the NFC East, two in the AFC
East. Oh, Cleveland Browns, Cincinnati Bengals. Ugh, those are not important anyway.
You got all of the AFC North.
Okay. So how many am I missing now?
You're missing six.
Wow, really?
Mm-hmm.
I feel like I covered all of them. Okay.
Could be wrong. I could be a bad typist. It could be my fault. You still have 2 minutes.
Okay.
2 minutes. This is good radio.
Indianapolis. Yeah,
oh,
I
did
know.
You say the Colts?
I did say Indianapolis Colts.
Oh, you got them. Yeah, they're in there.
Okay.
People are screaming at the radio right now.
I know, it's terrible. I'm sorry. I almost feel like stopping this because there's a lot of dead air now.
It's okay. This is exciting. People are playing along at home.
What am I missing?
One in the East.
One in the
NFC East. Two in the AFC East. One in the AFC West.
I'm still missing that AFC West?
Mm-hmm. Oh. You have Broncos, Raiders, and Chargers.
Oh, did I say the Rams?
Yep.
Okay, damn it. Okay. Like Panthers, I probably said.
Yep.
This is hard.
One minute. You have 14 left.
By the way, the girls got way easier questions than this.
I know. I'll ask you some easy ones right now.
Okay. Yeah, okay, just hit the buzzer.
Fruits that start with F. That's what I'm going to say. Let's see. The Bills.
Oh.
The Patriots.
How did I think I said Patriots, didn't I?
Maybe you did. The Redskins.
Oh.
And the Chiefs.
Yeah, but they're racist. We don't count.
That's why you miss them. You miss all the ones with Western themes. The Bills, the Chiefs, and the Redskins.
All right.
But that's not bad, dude. You got 87%.
Close enough.
That is great.
That's a B plus.
That's a good job. All right, here we go.
I think that would have been easier if I would have written them down as I'm saying it, because that way I could just look at what I was missing.
But, this is called three letter body parts.
Okay.
Can you name the three letter body parts?
How many are there?
There are 10.
Okay. Arm, toe.
You have 2 minutes.
Arm, toe, ear. The anus.
The anu.
The anu. Three letter body part.
Mm-hmm.
I've got three. And you said there's five?
There's 10.
Oh, Jesus.
1 minute, 35 seconds.
This is way harder than the girls got, dude. I'm just saying.
Three letter body parts.
Girls got, like, what's the capital of California? Like,
three letter body parts. 1 minute, 20 seconds.
Pit? The arm pit? No?
Nope. I'm thinking of some right now that I...
Three-letter body part. Knee, ear, toe, brow. No, that's four. That's four.
Um, 50 seconds.
Yeah, I'm
thinking eye.
Oh, eye, of course.
What about leg?
Yeah, okay. That works. I mean, I didn't. That's
lip. That's in there.
Yeah,
I can't think. We're at six. I can't.
This
think.
Is less about knowledge and more of like how fast can you think.
Nose, hair, lip, brow, tooth, nail.
Yeah.
Thumb, finger.
Nail, no. Nail is four.
Brain,
no.
Lung,
no. You're
liver,
just
made,
yeah. Okay.
Nut.
We're going way outside the boundaries of this quiz now.
Nut's not in there.
Nut. I don't think that's the medical term for it.
Okay, we have 4, 3, 2, 1. All right, let's see what we missed.
Do you imagine the doctor coming in and saying, sir, you're suffering from a cyst in your nut?
In your nut. Gum?
Oh, hip. Gum.
Hip.
Gum. But gum is, that's not fair, though, because
it's
gums.
Singular, yeah.
Yeah.
Hip. Rib. Jaw.
Ribs, son of a gun. Of course. That's tough. That was a tough one. All right.
Here we go. Countries of the world. There are 197.
No. Ask me questions.
Oh, this is good stuff.
This quiz is rigged, dude.
Can you name all 50 states?
No.
In 10 minutes.
I can name maybe like 40 or maybe 30 something.
You couldn't do
all 50? No. This is I need a piece of paper or something to write this down. Like my brain is so small that I can only I can't remember like this. The problem I was having with the sports teams is I couldn't remember what I mentioned or not. So
here we go. Ready?
I like the fact that some of these are incredibly unfair, but that's, and you laugh because they are, but you won't change it. You're such a jerk.
It's not that I'm not going to change it. It's just that I'm trying to find something that here, hold on.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see. We're looking at.
Yeah, this is great radio, man.
Yeah, no, hold on. I know. Keep talking. Talk to yourself.
Okay. So. let's see. I've got a really – I wish I was like Vince Scully right now to just tell you some random story to just fill time. You didn't have a quiz ready before you came here?
I had a couple, and they were all sports, but then you didn't like the sports ones.
No, I liked the sports one. I just
– But you said they were hard, so I didn't want to
– I didn't say they were hard. I said they – The naming 30 in 5 minutes is not real. I don't know. I guess that is kind of like a quiz, but just whatever. Just give me whatever.
All right, here we go. Uh-huh. These are all history questions.
Okay, fine.
And they start
Forte
with
right
they,
there.
All of the answers begin with the letter G.
Can I get a piece of paper or something?
Yeah.
Okay. That helps me. Okay.
Here we go. These all start with the letter G.
Okay.
Ready?
Yeah.
You have 7 minutes.
Okay.
Here we go. This is good radio. Here we go.
Okay, go for it.
What was the name given to the nation's worst economic crisis, which lasted throughout the 1930s?
The Great Depression.
Wrong. Just kidding. You're not going to hit it in. You're not going to hit it in time, so this won't be time. This will just be if you can get it. Mm-hmm. All right, ready?
Okay.
Which commander of the Union forces during the Civil War later became president of the United States?
General Ulysses S. Grant.
Correct. What speech given by the President Lincoln in 1863 began 47 years ago?
Gettysburg.
Which economist served as the chairman of the Federal Reserve from 1987 until 2006?
Greensburg.
No.
No?
Greenspan.
Greenspan, that's right.
What was President Lyndon Johnson's agenda to wage war on poverty and advance civil rights?
Wait, repeat the question.
What was Lyndon Johnson's agenda to wage war on poverty and advance civil rights called?
Oh, it was the the Great Deal?
Mm-hmm.
Great Mm-mm. Plan?
You're close.
The Great... Oh, I knew. Oh, man. I feel like it's one of those. Yeah, of course.
Great Society.
Great Society.
Which president of the U.S. died in 1881 after being shot by an assassin?
Garfield.
What was Mark Twain's label for the post-Civil War decades?
I don't know that one.
The Gilded Age.
Mm.
Who was the first American to orbit the Earth in a man-made satellite?
The first American? It was...
John Glenn.
John Glenn.
In which body of water did American and North Vietnamese ships supposedly clash in August 1964?
What is that sound? That's my brain slowing mm-hmm. down. That's what it is. This is a bay where they clashed?
Mm-hmm. What's another word for bay that starts with a G?
Another word for bay that starts with a G? The Great Lakes?
Nope. Gulf of Tonkin. Gulf of Tonkin. Tonkin.
That's right. Okay.
Which abolitionist published The Liberator?
Oh, it was... Pass.
William Lloyd Garrison. What was the name? I wouldn't have gotten that. What was the name of the land acquisition from Mexico, of southern Arizona and New Mexico in 1853?
The land acquisition?
Mm-hmm. What was the name of it?
A Treaty of Guadalupe Hidalgo?
It was Gazdin Purchase. What paper currency was issued by the Union government during the Civil War?
Coupons?
Greenbacks. Oh, this is one of my favorite names in history. Which labor union leader founded the AFL and served as its president until 1924?
Wait, I'm sorry.
Which labor union leader founded the AFL and served as its president until 1924? It's my absolute favorite name in history.
Don't know.
Samuel Gompers.
Yeah, I would have gotten that.
What town in Mexico was the site of the signing of a peace treaty in 1848? Ending the Mexican-American War.
Is it Guadalupe Hidalgo?
Mm-hmm. Mm. Which composer and pianist is well-known for his 1924 composition, Rhapsody in Blue?
Oh, Gershwin.
There you go. There you go. You did okay.
That wasn't so bad. There's some in there I would have not gotten. Like, I didn't know the Gilded Age.
You got 5%.
I got 5%.
I'm totally kidding. Because I only put the one answer in and then I gave up.
Okay.
All right.
All righty.
You ready?
Yeah.
You want to do another one?
Sure. Let's do one more.
All right. Can you name the true or false history, true or false answers about these statements related to history?
Okay, so this is a true or false?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Shoot.
No, you know what? I'm not going to do this one because it's not going to give me the answer.
Okay.
I don't want to have you timed. I will not have you timed, okay? I will not.
You can time me. It's not a problem.
I will not. Let's go. Ready?
Yeah.
Oh, God, that's... Nope. Nope. These are hard quizzes. No.
Okay. You're going to edit all this dead space out, right?
Yeah. Okay. Well, when I listen to it, I will. I'll just fast forward to it. This is really weird.
Mm.
Okay, so this is just, can you name the answers below that have a common link? But none of them have a common link, so it's kind of weird. Where the Dodgers used to play?
Brooklyn.
Make a picture or pull out a gun in a shootout?
Draw.
Type of Falcon in Star Wars?
Millennium.
Largest university in D.C.?
University?
Mm-hmm.
University of Washington, D.C.?
George Washington.
Oh, George Washington.
Howl at the Moon.
Wait, I'm sorry. That's a question?
Yeah, Howl at the Moon.
Piano bar?
No. Jack, who wrote Call of... That was Bay. I don't know why that... I don't know what they're all supposed to have in common. Jack, who wrote Call of the Wild?
London.
Rotating part of an engine or a suffix with spy or web?
Rotating part of an engine? Motor?
Mm. No, a cam.
Oh, a cam.
Harbor where the USS Arizona Memorial lies.
Harbor where what?
USS Arizona Memorial lies.
Oh, that's going to be Pearl Harbor.
The Sydney Opera House overlooks this body of water.
Sydney Bay.
Sydney Harbor.
Sydney Harbor.
One has to pay this to drive on a turnpike.
Toll.
Sistine or Christine?
Chapel.
A type of wagon or a word that describes the Beatles' version of Twist and Shout?
I'm sorry, repeat that?
A type of wagon or a word that describes the Beatles' version of Twist and Shout?
Rock and roll?
Covered.
Covered.
That's dumb. Napoleon's Last Hurrah.
Waterloo?
Opposite of expand.
Contract?
Curious George, Abu, Mojo, or Gleek?
Monkey.
Disciplinary action by a school or sports league?
Fine.
Suspension.
Suspension.
Wow. Alliterative American poet who wrote Leaves of Grass?
Pass.
Walt Whitman.
Oh, yeah.
What someone with a flat foot lacks?
Arch.
Person on a sidewalk or crosswalk?
Pedestrian.
100th anniversary celebration?
The silver? Diamond? Platinum?
Centennial.
Centennial, oh.
Director Polanski, who directed Chinatown?
Robert?
Roman.
Roman.
Waterway connecting the Red Sea and the Mediterranean?
Waterway?
Yes.
Connecting the Red Sea and the Mediterranean? At the Suez Canal?
Yes, sir. Okay. Comes after Schweitzer, Disney, or Never Never?
Land.
Yes. Words that can follow any of the above answers. That's what it is.
Wait, what? That was the question?
That's what it is. The word that can follow any of the above answers.
Oh, geez. Okay. London, Kim.
So you have Brooklyn, draw, George Washington, Bay, London, Cam, Pearl, Toll, Chapel, Covered, Waterloo. What's a word that can follow all of them?
Bridge?
Yes.
Dang it. Yes.
You did it.
Yes. Yes.
Martin, I could not figure out why, because I said they were all supposed to be related and I couldn't figure out what it meant.
Yeah.
And then I was like, oh, there it is.
Nice.
Nice work, buddy. Pull, see, you thought it was going to be a zero, and you turned it into a hero.
Thank you.
How do you feel?
I'm good. I'm ready to retire.
See that? There you go. There's your little quiz. That's your little quiz show.
Nice.
That's your quiz show for the week. Let's take a quick break after that. And that was actually like 10 minutes of talking and 5 minutes of me looking stuff up. And you just going, are you going to edit this out later? We'll be right back. Martin is still riding high on that victory. Mm-hmm. How do you feel, man?
Good, man. Good.
That was a good. I would have never guessed that. I would have never.
I'll be honest with you. I don't know how I guessed that. It just happened.
Beautiful. So. Good job. Proud to know you right now. Proud to be your friend.
Thanks, buddy.
So, what was your favorite thing this week?
I started watching Silicon Valley. That was really funny.
It is a great show.
It's
really
pretty
funny
awesome.
Show.
Yeah. For those of you that don't know.
It's not funny. Just a word of warning. It's not funny like you're going to bust up laughing. Yeah. You will. There are times where you will.
Right.
But it's just the characters are all really good and it's a very compelling story.
TJ Miller?
Yeah.
Miller, he plays the guy who's I guess he has what he calls an incubator and he's such a jerk. But he like has an incubator, basically he has his house. He's like a former developer or whatever. He has his house where he houses these programmers that have ideas, and the whole thing of it is the deal is he gets 10% of whatever they create when they're there. But one of them, one of the guys creates this software which basically crunches information, or compresses information and all of this. And so then there's this company he works for, Huli?
I think it's Huli.
It's basically Google. And so they want this program or whatever. So it kind of revolves around that. But it was really funny. I was cracking up when the CEO of Huli, he's with his like spiritual advisor, and he's like looking down, and he's all I'm only like two episodes into it. And he's looking down and he's like, they always travel in packs of five. He's like, there's always this tall, skinny white guy, the Asian guy, the Eastern Indian guy,
yep.
And a fat one. He's like the one with facial hair. He's like, it's almost as if they trade people until they create the perfect team.
It's true. That's what me and my friends all did. Skinny white guy would have been Dan. I would have been the fat guy. Yeah. None of us had facial hair, though.
Oh.
Robert would have been the Asian guy. Hiddish was the Indian guy.
That's awesome.
We didn't develop software, though.
That
would have been great. I would have liked to come up with Pied Piper.
I get the feeling that in order to hang in your group, you'd have to be a very intelligent person. Like, you couldn't be dumb.
I like to think that I represented the C student in that group, but
that's a smart group of friends. I mean,
but you know what, when you're hanging with them, they never make you feel like, because I grew up with them, and then I knew Hiddish in seventh grade before he became an engineer. So we have this frame of reference. You know, Robert's the same thing. Robert was just always kind of beyond, he's just a naturally smart person, but, you did have to be smart, but it was never like you did and you didn't. Mm-hmm. You know, you had to have a working knowledge of like pop culture. You had to have a working knowledge of things that we were into and things like that. And that really, more so than anything else, was gonna decide whether or not you would. And it wasn't even like we wouldn't accept you. I just think it just would be like you would just not have as much fun if you didn't.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Mm.
So, yeah, I mean, you do have to.
Because you had a friend who Hiddish is an engineer.
He's an engineer, yeah.
Robert.
He's just a boy genius.
He's like MacGyver, is what you've told me.
Yeah.
And then didn't you have a friend that used to make his own instruments?
No.
Or used to play like obscure instruments or something?
Oh, that was John Sandy's buddy Pat.
Okay.
John Sandy's buddy Paul Stewart.
Oh, okay.
That guy was like, he and Robert are like the equal, like they're intellectual giants. Like,
oh, yeah. Okay.
Paul was, that's Robert's buddy. He would like make his own. He was just beyond.
Mm.
He was like what you would say when you think of someone who's an intellect. Like, this is no insult to Hiddish and Robert, but I don't think of them as intellectuals just because we talk about like.
Well, because they're your friends.
Yeah, and we also talk about, you know, Predator.
But if I.
We've also got Commando memorized, like,
and that's
line
cool.
by line.
And that's
you know
cool.
what I mean? That's why I don't think of them as. Because, like, in his spare time, Hiddish isn't going to be like. Oh, I'm going to sit down and I'm going to digest some Noam Chomsky, or I'm going to read.
Right.
I'm going to dissect, Anne Rind or something. He's like, he's very much like, I'm going to watch a Dodger game, or I'm going to sit here and
mm-hmm.
I'm going to go see, you know, this movie with my kids.
You know what? And I've known people that like try to kind of be that intellectual, like they have, you know, mm-hmm. they recite, you know, obscure,
yeah.
you know, literature or whatever. Anne Rind is like their favorite author or
yeah,
something
yeah.
like, you know, and that they're not that much fun.
That's what I
like the people that knowledgeable.
Yeah.
That,
they, Hiddish and Robert, especially two very, very, very intelligent people who, and I'm saying this as a compliment.
Mm.
If you didn't know what they did, you're not going to know
mm-hmm.
because they're just ready to sit down and have a good time.
Right.
But in that they have that Swiss Army knife of knowledge where they have all this knowledge they can just fall back on.
And I have a huge admiration for people like that, because it's they don't have to try to put that out there.
Yeah,
that they're
no,
smart.
No,
it's
not
just,
at all.
It'll it, like it almost like they try to like hold it back.
Yeah, yeah. Not
and it
at all.
Bleeds out because mm-hmm. you can tell like this person's really bright.
Yeah, yeah. That's what it is. So in that respect,
not
yeah.
trying to kiss your ass, but
no,
you're like that too. Though
in that respect, I don't feel like I never felt like hanging with those guys was like, hey, we're the smart guys and we're gonna. You know, we're going to don't try to mess with it. It was nothing like that. It was just, it would come out. Like if we had like, you know, if we went to like a bar and we were playing trivia or something,
yeah.
then it would come out. It'd be like, dude, you know this, you know, you can, or Robert would just like pull some like obscure
yeah.
fact out of his ass. And you'd just be like, wow, how did you do that? You know what I mean? Like when you get, you know, if you sit and talk to Robert, he will literally quote all of Predator to you.
That's awesome. Whoa.
But then he'll know, you can ask him about some obscure opera and he'll tell you who composed it and what. Each
yeah.
of the arias is about, and you know,
that's
and
cool.
he'll tell you what it was like, you know, when it premiered and who, you know what I mean? So
mm-hmm.
he's got this just, he's like a bed of knowledge. And then, you know, and but you know, I seriously, like if I showed you some of our texts before we started the recording, Hiddish and I were literally, he was talking about Fast and the Furious. He was literally,
but you're also like a treasure trove of information too. So don't
well,
sell
because
yourself
we,
short there.
We like to. I think we all have the same personality. And
for
that,
the record, I have to kiss his ass if I want to stay on the show.
You want to stay on the show? No, but I think we have a love of. If I will do a humble brag, I will say that we knew a lot of the stuff we knew before the advent of the internet, when you had to go
mm-hmm.
look it up in,
mm-hmm.
in books and stuff like that. But we were all big readers. We all read a lot. We all, and it, you know, it was everything from comic books to, you know, I mean, part of the reason I know so much about movies is because I grew up when I worked at a video store when I was 15, and I stumbled upon this book called The Leonard Maltin Movie Guide that was
oh.
literally every movie up till then.
Mm-hmm.
And he just published his last one this year. And if you don't have one, get one. And it's
mm-hmm.
worth to have. I've discovered so many movies. It was like a film school in a book for me. But it was because I would read his reviews, and then, you know, I kind of gauged what his appeal was versus mine. And, you know, it doesn't line up exactly, but a lot of times I would find these obscure movies in the book and then go hunt them down. And
yeah.
this is before the internet. That's how I would discover these movies.
Yeah.
And so by the time I got around to meeting like John Sandy, I had some knowledge of these certain movies.
Mm-hmm.
And then John just was like that. He was like a walking iteration of that book.
Oh,
and
okay.
John Sandy's the same way. You know, he's a voracious reader. I think what you'll find with certain people like that is people like that. Well, it doesn't matter if it's comic books, if it's, you're just as likely if you go to Robert's house to find a motor guy, a book to how to disassemble an engine on a 1989 Ford Ranger as you are to a book find a book about opera on his shelf. You know what I mean? It's just people that you know that have that kind of knowledge just tend to read. You're a reader.
Yeah.
You have a breadth of knowledge that you know certain things about, and it's because you read about it. And now you know, the internet kind of breaks that down into like kind of digest form, you know? Mm. So you can get these little bits and kind of, you know, magazines like Mental Floss are beautiful for that.
Yeah.
So I think you'll find that if you, in your travels, like when you find people like that, tend to find people that have a love of reading. I think that it just invites that kind of thinking, that it invites that kind of, and things stick with you better when you read them, for me anyway.
Right.
I know a lot of people are visual learners. Like, you know, you learn visually, which I do a lot. If I find things on the internet, like I was trying to replace a seal on the washing machine door the other day with my father-in-law, and I just looked it up online, and we both like were able to go, oh, okay, this is how you do it.
Yeah.
But I mean, I think a lot of facts that I've read have stuck with me over the years because I read it somewhere, not because I saw it like on, you know what I mean? I'm not poo-pooing TV because I'm the biggest TV watcher, you know, in the world. But I mean, I tend to read things and then they'll stick with you and you remember them.
I think you have an appetite. You have to have an appetite for like wanting to know. I always tell – I was an only child for about 8 years, and I always say that kind of shaped me. For like it to who I am, like, because I was an only child, I had to read a lot, I had to keep myself entertained, and so you do develop this appetite for wanting to know. So you know, you see something and you're like, I wonder how that came about, you
know,
or how did that come about? And it's not like you're trying to be smart or you're trying to know more than everyone. It's just that curiosity knob in your brain is turned up a little higher, I think.
Well, John Sandy brought that up with me when we talked about the Kinks. Where as soon as I figured out that I liked this band, I went and found everything I could read about them.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? I went and found articles. I found books. You know, everything I could get my hands on to get, like, information. And I'll do that with things that I like. And then I just sort of – I don't throw it away, but it's like you know, now I'm not talking about the Kinks every 5 minutes because it's not the latest thing I discovered. But anybody that has known me for any amount of time will know that I'll get into stuff and I'll be really into it for a while, and because I'll read everything I can know – I can read about it, and then, you know – and then, like, I'll move on, but that stays there. It's not like it goes away. It's like, now that's in the library. You know what I mean? So, but you if you grew up that way, if you grew up reading, you'll have that. My daughter has it, where she likes to read the same kind of things that I did when I was a kid. She likes to read almanacs, and she likes to read like books about facts, and like that's how she gets her, you know. Mm. And she hasn't quite gotten to the point where she doesn't browse for that stuff online. Mm-hmm. She'd much rather have a book and carry it around and read it.
Yeah,
which is awesome in like this day and age, because she's 10. Mm-hmm. You know, I think she's going to be really the last generation of that that doesn't.
At the same time, I also used to read John Grisham novels when I was like in junior high. So I mean, you read stuff that entertains you, but
sure.
So there's a. It's not all like, oh, let me learn some history. Like I also used to learn. I mean, read stuff that was just entertaining.
I remember, I was probably about 9 or 10 when I read the novelization of Jaws, and in Jaws, it differed from the movie because Brody's wife is having an affair with Richard Dreyfuss's character, the marine biologist. They're having an affair. And there's like this full on, like, they meet at a hotel. There's like a whole little scene where they have like this visit at a hotel. And I should not have been reading it when I was 9 years old. But then I was like, but then, you know, part of it went over my head, but part of it was also like, whoa, like, you know what I mean? Like, hey, I know I shouldn't be reading this. So I'm not going to tell anybody that this is in the book.
Uh-huh.
But, at the same time, I used to read novelizations of everything, of all the movies I liked, because they always gave you insight into the character and like kind of what the character was thinking, and you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I always liked that. It added depth to the stuff that I already liked.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And, you know, you go back and you read those now and you're like, well, Jaws wasn't a novelization. The movie was based on the book, but I would read like the novelization of Star Wars, the novelization of these movies that I liked. And you go back and you realize some of them aren't very good. Some of them were written by good writers and some of them weren't.
Right.
But it was a way for me to kind of milk the stuff that I had. Like, I wasn't going to be able to see Star Wars on video.
Yeah.
Video was far away. I never thought I'd be able to watch it at my house whenever I wanted to. That was like a dream.
Yeah.
So I would read the novelization over and over. I must have read the novelization of Empire Strikes Back like 5 or 6 times.
A bunch of times. That's cool. Yeah. When I was a kid, I remember seeing Jurassic Park. Jurassic Park came out in 94.
'93.
So I think I was like 9.
Let's look it up.
I think 93. June 11th, 1993.
Well, you remember.
I think so. Let's check that out.
True or false? I'm going to do a Jimmy Carter.
True or false? Jurassic Park premiered June 11th, 1993.
How do you know it was June 11th?
Yeah,
Oh, my God. June 11th, 1993. How did you know that?
I just knew it. I don't know.
That is crazy that you knew that.
But, like, I liked it so much, I went out and I found out that there was a lost, like, it was a book, and Michael Cretton had written a sequel to it. So I was nine.
Yeah.
And I went out and I got those books. So it was cool. Like, that was entertaining for me. Yeah. I didn't have, like, you know, little brothers or anything to play with. At the time, my little brother was, like, one year old.
So. Yeah, he's boring.
Yeah. So you really depend on that. And so lesson in this is have an only child.
Read. Read more.
Read more, yeah.
I think that's a lesson. Or just have one kid. But I was going to tell you, true or false, Robert's mother is the first person I know that read Jurassic Park.
True.
That is absolutely true. Robert's mother, Janet.
Nice.
Janet told me I needed to read it. So I read it before I even knew it was going to be a movie because she lent it to me.
There's a lot of changes in the first Jurassic Park that make the second Jurassic – maybe because I was a kid, but I really enjoyed the second Jurassic – like The Lost World, the book. But I think that they made some changes in the first one that made it impossible for them to follow the second book.
Yeah. I wanted that Tyrannosaurus from the book in the original Jurassic Park. Mm-hmm. Remember it like swims after them. They get away in the raft.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And like it swims after them. And like that whole thing was awesome.
Dr. Hammond dies.
Yeah.
He gets eaten by the little guys.
The little guys. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. There's like a waterfall scene with the T-Rex.
Yeah. It comes in and it's got in the end. Yeah. I remember that.
Yeah.
Good stuff. Good stuff. So anyway, read. Speaking of reading, I've never read Game of Thrones. I got about a third of the way through the original book.
Yeah.
A Song of Ice and Fire, I think is what it's called. And I gave up because the show was pending.
I tried to read it and eventually I realized my heart wasn't really in it and I was okay with discovering it through the TV show.
I felt
show.
The same way. And Hiddish has read them all. And so he's always giving me like – he's like – I'll be like, all right, give me – like what should I be expecting? And he doesn't really give me spoilers, but he'll kind of point me in a certain way. But he's read them all, and I just could not get into it. I just didn't – you know, that was another thing. In the 90s, Hiddish read a lot of the Tom Clancy novels. I liked the movies, but I could never get into the – I think I read Hunt for October, and he read them like – he read them all. And it was just another thing where I just couldn't – I couldn't get into a certain style, and he's like, oh yeah, I read them all, like, you know. So he's kind of been my guide through the world of Game of Thrones, and he'll just be like, hey. I'll be like, oh man, that was a great show. He'll just be like, just wait. Like, that's all he'll say.
Nice.
But what did you – now, here's the thing. I wanted to get your take in the closing minutes, your take on this last week's episode, which I call Jon Snow versus Army of Darkness.
I loved it. That was one of my favorite – episodes, I think, in the entire show. It was really well. And somebody had a someone posted something about it online, and I said that episode beat, you know, I have a beef with Walking Dead.
Yeah.
I said that episode accomplished one episode what Walking Dead kind of has tried to do for a while. And somebody was like, well, they're different shows. And yes, they are. They're different shows. However, what I was referring to is just the terror in it, or the scariness of it. It was scary, you know. Just you see these hordes of dead people. Spoiler alert: hordes of dead. You okay?
Yeah, yeah.
These hordes of, like, you know, the dead just coming after, you know, trying to break into this little city, or this, you know, with the walls, trying to break the walls down and go. You know, like that was it was good. I mean, it was terrifying. It was the fights were awesome. It was good. And I've told you before, I have a thing for movies or stories where the good guy has to retreat and the bad guy wins. Like, I love that. Like, that's probably the only thing I like about episode 3 of Star Wars was the fact, like, okay, we lost. Let's get out of here. We'll regroup. We're coming back.
Yeah.
Like, I kind of like when that happens in stories. And so that was a big one. And I really enjoyed it. I thought it was awesome.
What? You know what? I was the only one that was underwhelmed by that scene.
Really?
Army of Darkness ruined it for me. That's all I kept thinking about the whole time.
Okay. Well.
But you know what? Also, I'll tell you what. For me, Game of Thrones has never been about the battles.
Mm-hmm.
Although some of the individual fights, like last year when we had the fight with the serpent and the, you know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. and the one with the hound and
oh, the,
and,
the viper.
Yeah. The viper, we had the viper and then we had the and then we had the hound fighting, what's her name? Mm-hmm. Those have always been like, for me, like that personal one-on-one combat means a lot more than the bigger battles.
Mm-hmm.
But for me, I love, I just love like the wordplay. I mm-hmm. love the characters. I love, so for me, where I really, what really did it for me was the scenes with Daenerys and,
yes.
and that to me was like, yes. finally, we're finally getting like, this is going to be awesome. This is yeah. where I want the show to go.
Yeah.
Like Tyrion is now advising Daenerys. Like that is awesome. Like, to me, like that was much more. So I felt like the I felt like that we, it was inevitable that we would see a scene like that with mm-hmm. with the White Walkers coming. Walker, yeah. Now, what was awesome was the scene where the where they went lemming, and then popped up. Like that was awesome.
Yeah, that was cool. And then, did you like the Four Horsemen too?
Yeah, and then at the end when he like raises everybody up yeah. and basically like, look, everybody you kill is now like everybody we kill is now one of us.
Right.
So he just keeps the infantry gets that was cool to me.
Yeah.
So for me, and I think it's just because I'm jaded. I've seen so many movies with so many fights.
Mm.
It's like we talk about the Marvel thing with it's always got to be this big city that yeah. blows up at the end.
Yeah.
I just kind of feel, and it's not Game of Thrones' fault. Game of Thrones doesn't do it a lot, but it's just I've seen variations of that so often.
Yeah.
That to me, it didn't that part wasn't the best, my favorite part. And I know I'm in the minority saying that.
Yeah.
But to me, I was much more in the idea of like, this all this other stuff that I've been waiting for, because this season's really kind of this hasn't been the best season of Game of Thrones, I think.
No.
It's a lot of it. There's been a lot of stuff that's been just being kind of we're treading water, and we're putting a placeholder here. And a part of it is because we're waiting. They're waiting for George R. R. Martin and trying to figure out what he's going to do, and mm-hmm. are we going to follow the books? And now they've made the decision they're not going to follow the books.
Oh,
so
really?
Closely.
Okay.
Yeah, they're going to just go on without.
Oh, because that whole fight scene is mentioned in the book.
Yeah,
it's not actually.
Yeah,
talked about.
They're going to kind of diverge. Like from his, so I think like I feel like going forward, this will be. I feel like we're getting to a point now where we can move forward.
Okay,
and because I feel like you could have really compressed this episode. I think you could have been this far in like episode 4 of the season instead of what are we on episode like 6 or 7.
I think what you're saying is that there's a lot of filler yeah. in this season, yeah, and yeah. I absolutely agree because
yeah.
I didn't even realize we're up to like episode 8
yeah.
now
because it just not much has happened.
Yeah,
you know?
And then.
But it was fun to see Cersei drinking out of the on the ground, just mm-hmm. being. She's still not humbled, but you mm-hmm. know what I mean. They're trying to break her.
Yeah.
But yeah, there's a lot going on that I'm finally seeing. Like, all right, this is going to finally start happening. Mm-hmm. So maybe it's not that I wasn't impressed with the battle. It's just I felt that it was inevitable that it was going to happen. Okay. The giant running around like throwing people around, that was awesome.
That was cool. Yeah. The fight scene with Jon Snow is awesome though.
Oh, when the Valyrian steel mm-hmm. kills White Walkers, man, mm-hmm. we know that. Because he left
Is that established in the book?
I don't know. We'd have to ask Hiddish. Yeah. Hiddish, please answer that question.
Yeah, please. We should just like Skype him right now. We have
he's at
Game
work.
Of Thrones questions.
He's at work. I would have him. I would Skype him all the time, but he's at work at this time. Well, yeah, I did like the episode. It's probably the strongest episode this season by far.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
And I hopefully we're right. It's gonna.
It's strong because it's good. It was good in the beginning with the Daenerys and mm-hmm. Tyrion. Like that was awesome. Like I really love, and it's just them talking.
Yeah.
But I think that held the same weight as the fight scene too.
That's what's great about the show. That's what I'm saying. Yeah. That this show's never been. I think, and I hate to say this,
mm-hmm.
I think they throw a lot of that stuff in and kind of make it bigger because. That's what certain members of the audience want that and expect that. But mm-hmm. I think Game of Thrones would just be just as awesome if you didn't, like, you don't really need to see like, some of the battles are just what's going on between the characters. Like, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
like those, like when,
I disagree. I like the battles though.
When Grandma went to go visit the, what's his name?
Oh, the High Sparrow. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, I thought that was like, oh, see, this is what I love about this show. I like
yeah.
that. I like the banter and I like the, mm-hmm. I like that sort of positioning and maneuvering and mm-hmm. what's everybody going to do. And like, you know, the threats don't work on this guy. Like they're trying to figure out how to come at this guy.
You like the chess portion of the.
Yeah, I kind of do. I kind of do.
Because it really is like a chess match.
Yeah, I kind of do. I do like that. I do like that.
Whereas the fight scenes are more like somebody just getting up and throwing the chessboard over the, you know.
Which, no, I like it. I like it. I just don't think I know a lot of people kind of for some people, mm-hmm. the rest of the show is that's what they sit through to get to those scenes.
Yeah. Okay.
You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And for me, I enjoy those just as
much. That's
why
it's so popular. It's a little bit for everyone.
For me, is I enjoy those scenes just as much as I enjoy watching a giant squish a White Walker.
That was cool. He's just peeling them off.
Yeah. I thought they were going to turn him. I thought he was going to
I thought
he was going to be like, he was going to be turned.
Yeah.
Who dropped the glass? Who dropped the obsidian?
That was an actual dude in the suit.
Oh, really?
I mean, yeah, he's not CGI'd. My brother showed me a picture.
They just shot him like.
I think so. I think they just like, you know, enlarged him.
Yeah. That, you know what? That was the magic of Photoshop. Was definitely, I will tell you this, that was definitely the most cinematic of the battle scenes we've seen.
I'm glad you said that because that's exactly what I said to my brother. I said, he's like, what did you think? I was like, that was the most cinematic episode. Like, it felt like a movie.
Yeah.
Like, you could have just, you know, that was awesome. That was really cool.
I know they did the episode last year where they fought they had the battle at the wall.
And that's one of my favorites, too.
And this, I thought, was a much cleaner scene, I felt. I mm-hmm. felt like this was, you had a good sense of what was going on and you know.
Mm.
The only thing that was kind of weird at first was the setup of where the wall was in relation to everybody else, and then you realize, oh, okay, they're on this side of the wall, and now they're trying to break out to where everybody is instead of, you know what I mean? Because,
mm-hmm.
and so, at first it was kind of, you know, the setup was kind of weird because you didn't really get a good lay of the land.
Right.
It's somewhere that you're not really familiar with, you know?
Yeah.
Like, the wall's established, so you kind of know what's going on. But this would be one that I would definitely hope that they would put on IMAX, maybe like with another episode and say,
that would look cool.
I think that would look really good.
That would look really cool.
All right. So, well, we're going to say good. We got to start talking about more Game of Thrones because we're not doing Mad Game this year. So, and I know you watch it. So we need to start bringing it up a little bit more every week. So that's going to do it for us, guys. Thanks for tuning in this week. We talked about reading. We took some quizzes. We talked about Rickey Henderson. So far, it was a good episode. I think it was nice and solid. It was a nice companion piece to the John Sandy episode. And
we miss you, John Sandy.
We miss you, John Sandy. Hopefully he'll be back next week. If not, next week we are going to have next week on a very special episode of the podcast, we will be saying goodbye to our friend Caitlin Despain. So we'll have nothing special planned for her.
Mm-hmm.
But we will be watching an episode. We're going to skip ahead in our weekly Trek up. And just to give you guys a heads up in case you want to watch it so you'll be ready for us, we are watching an episode called City on the Edge of Forever, which takes us to almost the very end of season one. I want to skip ahead a little bit because we want to leave it on a strong note. And the next few episodes of Star Trek are really great. This is probably one of the best just of the entire series. So I want to leave Caitlin. We want to send her off on a strong note with some good Star Trek in her head. So if you guys want to follow along, please check that out on Netflix. It's called City on the Edge of Forever. I believe it's episode, like, it's in the late 20s of season one of the original series. So until then, for our friend Renee, who's out front working the lobby, for Martin Cisneros playing with an X-Wing fighter,
mm-hmm.
for everybody here at Undercity, for the absent John Sandy, we will say that this transmission ends now.